Tonight, we will be looking at a very loud in Judges. That loud enough? Judges, chapter 13. Some of the folks that were in the youth were pre-programmed to know that we're going to look at Samson tonight, and I'd say you got a little bit of info on Samson as far as in your memory. You know that Samson was the guy that's supposed to be the big strong guy, right? He's the one that's supposed to be able to lift a lot of things, do a lot of things. But if you know anything about Samson, you know that Samson did not follow the Lord that well, right? He just kind of messed up. So I just want to look at it from a strength and a weakness kind of part. And when we get to the end of it, we'll look at his strength. In chapter 13, I'll get you to stand and I'll read the introduction. And we're going to go through chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16. But trust me, I'm going to try to move right on through all this and get you to the point, okay? It says there in chapter 13 of Judges, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And there was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing. For lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we pray for the message tonight, Lord, that you would just help whoever, Lord, would be willing to seek, desire to listen, and to respond to your word, to your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Initially, we see Samson's call here. It comes, and through a few things, and I'll give you the context here. In the book of Judges is the roller coaster book, as I like to think of it. When Israel did evil, they went to the bottom, and God would allow some, we would call them tribes most likely, but really we would call them nations today, to rise up and to rule over them. In other words, put them under bondage, put them in slavery. When Gideon was called, the Midianites, were coming and taking their crops from them. I don't think they were ruling over them as far as, you know, their governmental part, but they would just come in and take their crops. That's not a good deal, is it? But here we see that they did evil, and it says again, in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. And then it gives us the story about Manoah, which was Samson's father. And don't you know that every time that God's people get in bondage, that God has a deliverer coming? Amen? Today, that deliverer is who? None other than Jesus Christ. So when we get into bondage, and it could be today, it would be cell phones, you know, our hobbies, habits, our jobs, money, could be a lot of different things. God has a deliverer that's coming. Now, look at the end of verse 5. It says that he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So, Samson has a distinct call. He's going to begin the deliverance of the children of Israel from the Philistines. So, don't lose track of that, because that is a calling that is in the form of a promise. And as you look through, and most of y'all know the end of the story, but I'm going to try to highlight some things that will help all of us to remember But this is a promise that God gives, and Samson's whole life is to be serving God and to perform the purpose that God has for his life. And we got to remember that. There's a purpose that God has for us. Now, you've heard me say it may not just be one purpose. There are purposes for our lives as we serve God that kind of change. And sometimes they can change drastically. Sometimes they can change what you're called to do once you fulfill one of the callings that God has for you. I would say this, that the first calling that God has for anyone that's saved is to surrender in baptism and get joined with a church. The second calling would be for them to go from a new babe in Christ to get into the Word of God and get into the study of the Word of God and to get to praying and get to serving so that they can grow up so that God can use them for what He has for them. Very few people go from salvation, just salvation, to service. Very, very, very few. And I know I can testify for that in my life. If you don't read your Bible and you pray and you don't serve in the church just by being a faithful attendee and hearing the Word of God, God's not going to use you most likely, because that's just not how it operates. You don't get to, as Rosie is getting ready to take her driver's test here in some distant future, you know, another 10 or 15 years, she's not going to be able to pass the driver's test unless she does what? Gets in a car and does some driving, some practicing. Not going to happen. Now, there are some kids that could possibly never drive and wait till the day of their driver's test and go to and sit and let that and drive with the state trooper there with his clipboard and pass the test. But there are very few people that's going to do that. I was probably one of them. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just telling you, you just don't go from one thing to the other. So Samson here has the calling here, okay? And in Psalm 139, you stay right there in Judges, if you will. But in Psalm 139, verses 13 and 14, it says, and this is David, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." Each person that's born, and I'll tell you that each person here in this room tonight, God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. You may reject him. You may despise anything that God has called for you, but God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. And if you'll turn to him, as Ephesians 2 says, you can become a workman or workmanship of God. You can become part of the fabric of the kingdom of heaven. So as we see this, and look, the parents here for Samson, Brother Bill, didn't just go, "Hey, we got it." The father had to be convinced, and I'm not going through that story, but he had to be convinced that this was of God. Now, we could read it, but look at the end of chapter 13. Now remember, Manoah's wife, she's barren. She hasn't had any children. Most likely she's older than normal for the Israelite people to have children. They wouldn't have said that if that was not so. And then it says in verse 24, "And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him." Get this, "And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaoleth." So there is, in appearance and in real life, God has already began to work. The Spirit of God is already mentioned here. That's Samson's calling. And again, his purpose is there in 13:5. So let's look at some of Samson's weaknesses. And man, we could write a book on that, maybe. Let's look in chapter 14. It says there in verse 14, verse 1, "And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman of the Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and mother. and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Now, most of us, we don't have that problem. Now, some of these teenagers that we've seen tonight, they may be confronted with an issue like this. They may have seen some guy or gal that kind of has a sparkle in their eye or in their tooth that kind of gives them a like, ooh, this could be the one. And he goes to his mom and dad and says, hey, that's my girl right there. Go get her for me. Anybody know anybody that happened? Not me. I do know a lady that took her best friend and had a harpoon out for me and come chasing me down, but it was not her mom and dad. Actually, when I met her mom, and I didn't meet her dad at the same time, I don't think they were in favor of me when they first met me. Just saying. Get further information after the message, okay? But the father, I'm pretty sure he was not on board when he first met me, because I was Afro, concert shirt, known to be a kind of a wild guy. So I wasn't on board. But look, what is the weakness that Samson has right here? He wants stuff for himself. Now, how many of us have that issue? I'll raise my hand. Sometimes I want stuff for myself. He also has the unwillingness to seek God. I told the kids, and as I'll tell you here in a little bit, his faith is being tested. There's no doubt in my mind, Taylor, that his mama and daddy told him to, look, you're born with a purpose. God has called you to deliver us from the Philistines. Probably told him, no telling how many times. Have you told your kids, your grandkids, that God has a purpose for them? Well, we got to repeat that to them. It's not the same purpose for each person, folks, but look, each person in here has a purpose. They have something that they are to be doing for God. Now, again, this prayer, okay, and in 13:5 and in 14:5, look at 14:5. You're going to, no, wait a minute. I got the wrong verses here, okay? 14:1, 14:5, 14. I've got my verses wrong here. But anyway, we'll keep going. All right. I'm sorry. It doesn't happen every message. But anyway, just going to have to go without that, okay? I had one thing here on my note, and I got the wrong verse written down, okay? But second up, let's look in 14:8 and 9, okay? And after a time, he returned to take her, and he turned aside and seen the carcass of the lion. And behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. Now, he had killed a lion, okay? Verse 9, and he took thereof in his hands and went on eating and came to his father and his mother, and he gave them, and they did eat, and he told them, and he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. Now his mother was somewhat under the same Nazarite vow as Samson during the pregnancy. Some believe, in some of the commentaries I read, said that she was still under that vow. What's wrong with him sticking his hand into the carcass of a dead lion and getting honey? That was forbidden for someone under the Nazarite vow. Okay? So he broke that. And to get this, he didn't tell his parents. Is that wrong? It is wrong. We do things as children we should tell our parents. Sometimes we need to tell them more than what we would like to. He has broken number 5 up there. Honor thy father and thy mother. You kids that are here tonight, if you don't honor your father and your mother right there, number five, that's found in Exodus chapter 20. You're sinning against God, and you have a sin that you probably have not confessed to God and got it right. Yeah, I'm smiling. And you know what? I still need to honor my father and my mother. They're still alive, and I still honor him. You know, and if something, and I'm sure this will probably happen in time, but if they pass before me, I'm still going to honor them with the honor that they is deserving of God. That doesn't mean that occasionally things don't always work out. But we still honor our parents. We see here that this is a misuse of the power that God gave Samson in killing this lion with his bare hands back in chapter 13. And it says here in verse 8 and 9 that he didn't tell him. It tells us that he didn't tell his mom and dad. Now look in chapter 15. You're probably getting pretty happy because you're saying, boy, Rick, you said we was going to do 13, 14, 15, 16. You already took through two chapters. That's good. Look at verse 1. But it came to pass within a while after, in the same time, wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife as a kid, and he said, I will go to my wife into the chamber, but her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, verily, I thought that thou hast utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to my companion, or to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said, no, concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes and took firebrands and turned tail to tail and put firebrand in the midst of the two tails. What's the weakness there? Anger. Still, he's not seeking God, okay? He's still not saying, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, why is this happening? He's not asking any questions. He's responding in his own personal way. Isn't it what most of us do most of the time? I mean, be honest. Through your daily life, don't you and I usually respond in the way that we think is right before we ever think about what type of character flaw, you can call it whatever you want to, weakness it may show of us. Samson immediately sees that he's been hoodooed here from this woman. And I'm not, like I said, my job here tonight, God hasn't told me to give you all the details of this, but they had tricked him out of this lady that he wanted to marry, and then they give him to somebody else because he'd stayed gone too long. He comes back wanting her, and they say, oh, well, too late. So he destroys their crops. That's what that means when it says he takes those foxes and he sets them on fire, and they go through the fields and it catches the crop on fire. Is that right or wrong? It's wrong. Shouldn't do that. That is anger, and that is not showing respect for one another. Now look in chapter 15, verse 12. Going through this quickly because I want to get to my point. And they said unto him, we are come down to bind thee that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistine. Now this is his own people. They come to him and say, Samson, the Philistines are mad because you set their fields on fire. And they're going to come and do some bad stuff to us. Now, what we want to do, we want to tie you up. And we want to deliver you to them. Now, Samson was strong. He could break free from anything. He was the Houdini with strength. He could break chains. He could break whatever. And he says, just do me a favor. You're not going to kill me, right? That's what it says. I'm just giving you the highlights, the ESPN highlights. So they say, no, we're not going to kill you. So they tie him up. And they deliver him. Let's keep reading here. Verse 15. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand, and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, with a jawbone of an ass, heaps up heaps with the jaw of an ass, have I slain 1,000 men? And it came to pass when he made an end of speaking that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand and called the place Ramath Leah, or Lehi. What kind of weakness is this? Again, we see anger. We see his selfless desire, wanting to not be embarrassed. But really, we see this as success. How's this success? It's still against God's will, folks. He hasn't found God's will yet. This is the guy that's supposed to begin to deliver the children of Israel from the Philistines. It sounds like killing 1,000 of them would do it, wouldn't it? We could argue that, but he still is not making any headway in any way. And when we get to 18 and 20, it says that he was sore athirst and called on the Lord. Uh-oh. He's getting ready to get it right, Kenny. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Thou hast given this deliverance into the hand of thy servant. There's that success. And now I shall die for thirst, fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave an hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakkore. Y'all got that? Which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Israel in the days of the Philistines 20 years. So we're looking at a 20-year ministry. He got the water. God revived him. But it's because, God, you gave me a great victory. Still ain't come to the Lord. One more weakness. Let's check it out in chapter 16. It's a common thread. It's been there before. Let's look at verse number 6. Well, let's just start off in the chapter there. We're probably going too fast. Y'all don't get out of here too early. And then went Samson to Gaza and saw there was a harlot, and went in unto her and told the Gazites, saying, Samson's come hither. And they compassed him in and laid wait for him all night in the gate of the city, and were quiet all the night, saying, in the morning, when it is day, we shall kill him. And Samson lay till midnight, and arose at midnight, and took the doors of the gate of the city and two goats, and went away with them, the bar and all, and put them under his shoulders, and carried them up to the top of the hill that is before Hebron. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. You could probably find more weaknesses, but there's a weakness. Love. Love. Now, guided correctly, that some loving something or someone can be okay. But here he loves a woman. Again, he's fascinated with the relationship of a woman. And this woman, we know her to be the one that finally got his hair cut off. Finally, he loses his strength, right? That was his weakness. But I'm here to tell you that the whole time that this is going on, okay, that Samson's faith is on trial. And I can prove that to you at the end. And I'm telling you and me tonight that everything that you do, right or wrong, is still in God's sovereign hand. Now, you would think, if we thought in our process, now maybe you think differently, but we think that once somebody messes up, we're done with them. I'm going to let that soak in for just a second. Usually when somebody does something, we're done with it. But God, again, through all these different weaknesses and all these different things that Samson does, God still has a sovereign will that he's going to perform. That's mind-blowing, Norma. That's hard to believe, Brother Lee. But in everything that's going on in Samson's life, you wouldn't pick him and I wouldn't pick him to do something for God, would we? But God still has his sovereign plan that he's going to work out, Kenny, in Samson's life. But Samson has to do something before that can ever happen. Now let's look at some things here. In verse number 6 of chapter 16, maybe this is a strength. I don't know. This is what we're going to look at, though. We're going to look at the strengths that Samson had. And Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." Samson's strength, believe it or not, was his strength. But he had misused his strength, and it became a weakness. Now, if I'm thinking about this right, Samson had broken at least 4 of the 10 commandments. He's broken the first one, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He's made himself the ruler of his life. He's broken number 5. We've done seen that. He did not honor his father and his mother. And he's committed adultery. He's been married and not all that stuff. Okay, we got that. He's bore false witness. Oh, wait a minute. We got more than that. And then in the last one, he's coveted. He's coveted things. He's wanted things. What does it mean to covet? Covet means that Jason's got a really new truck, and I'd really like to have that new truck. That's not it in the whole, but that's kind of the way it kind of looks. But covetousness is when you move on that desire, and you try to say, you know what, I'm going to get me a truck, and that way I'll look like Jace. I mean, everybody wants to look like Jace, right? Brother Bill's not convinced. I don't know, Brother Jace. He kind of looked over like, he don't know. But let's think about it, okay? His strength, I believe, was his strength, but it was a weakness because he broke his Nazarite vow. And we read in chapter 13, verse 5, Taylor, that he's going to be the one that delivers the children of Israel from the Philistines. Now let's put this into some human context. If God has a purpose for you, and let's say there's a Bob or a Sue out there, that you're going to be the one that begins to deliver them from the bondage of sin and of being lost, wouldn't you be willing to do the will of God? We should be. But we got to remember, we got weaknesses. We got some callings in our life that we don't know about. We're not blessed like Samson to have it written out for us in chapter 13. But his, if you will, his greatest strength would be his weakness. Now, again, as we look at this, look in verse 15 of chapter 16. He gives it up right here, okay? And she said to him, "How canst thou say I love thee when thy heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these 3 times and hast not told me wherein thy great strength lieth." And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed to death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be like any other man." It's the best thing that ever happened to Samson. You say Samson's known for his strength. The best thing that ever happened to him is become weak. Remember what Paul said. When I'm weak, I'm strong, right? I'm often reminded of this little story that I take it to be true, but there was a young preacher that had been called into the ministry, and like most of us that get called to ministry, we feel like we're going to preach the revival message that's going to bring everybody to a saving knowledge, and the church is going to be ignited, Brother Bill, and everybody's just going to go, great. He come in to preach at another guy's church, and man, he was strutting in because he had studied his message. He hadn't preached just a couple times. He had studied, and really just, man, when he said, we want Brother so-and-so, man, he marched up there to that pulpit, and by the time he got done with his message had fallen apart, and he forgot some of what he was going to say, and he walked back, and he's like, sat in the pew the head all day. And after the service, that elder preacher, Brother Bill, told him, said, if you'd have walked up like you walked down, you could have walked down like you walked up. He said, what's that mean? If you'd been humble, you could have exalted Christ in your message, and you could have walked off that platform knowing that you had proven what God's will was in your life for that one day. Now look with me in chapter 13, verse 25. Put some loose ends together here, okay? It says there in chapter 13, 25, we read it earlier, but let's read it again. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan and Zorah and Ashtaroth. So look in chapter 15, verse 18. And he was sore athirst and called on the name of the Lord. Those are two elements that most of us have if we're saved, and those are two elements that most people, if they're lost, can have. It says in Romans 10:13, what is it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You say, I don't know how to do that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to understand it. Just call upon God. This is a crazy question because I don't think any of y'all have drowned before. Anybody ever been out in the water and thought they were going to drown? Did you call on somebody? Did you hope that you had a rock or a boat or something to grab a hold of? Yeah. I thought I was going to drown once. We were diving off a place called Table Rock there in Harrington Lake, and a bunch of us boys, it was in the summertime, I don't remember the details, but we were just like living the dream, man. There's just a bunch of 15, 16, 17, 18 year old boys, seven or eight of us, and I had jumped in and swam under, and when I was coming, and it had like rocks that were like steps. But when I got over there, I'd done been under the water for a little bit, but I didn't know that my friend Jeff Yakey had come in from the other side. When I got ready to come in, he took his foot, and he thought it was a rock, and he stepped on my head, and I went down another 4, 5, 6 feet, and I'd already used a lot of my breath. And then when he went to step the second time, I was coming up again, and he took me back down again, and I'm like, whoa, and then I kind of got under a rock just a little bit, but I quickly come up, and I'm like, ugh. He's like, what's wrong with you? What's that mean? I knew I needed air. I knew I needed to call upon some oxygen to be in my lungs. Samson had already understood that there was a spirit of God that could work in his life, and he'd also understood that he needed to call upon God if he needed him. He'd already figured out, as we've seen in Psalm 118, verse, what was it? Verse 8, it's better to trust in God than put your faith in man. Ain't that, it's something like that, right? I can't even remember. It's better to trust in the Lord than put your trust in man. Bad. I quoted all day long looking at it. Can't even remember now. My weakness is my memory. It's better to trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. Samson had already figured out that he couldn't trust man. Because they're going to deceive him, they're going to use him, and they're going to want things from him for their own use. Now let's look at this. Look at verse 28, chapter 16. Let's back up just a little bit.
When they caught Samson, this is what happened. But the Philistines took him, put out his eyes, and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer great sacrifice unto Dagon their god and to rejoice, for they said, "Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hand."
This is a strength sometimes, but it's not really a personal strength. When the enemy thinks they have you, when you're serving God, that's when usually God shows himself mighty. That's a good one. That's a good one to remember, but I don't want to leave you hanging with that, because it says there in verse number 24, when the people saw him, they praised their God. They said, "Our God had delivered into our hands our enemy and the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us." Now look on down to verse 28.
What is the greatest strength that Samson possessed, and he had not ever used it? Look at verse 28. Samson called unto the Lord and said, "O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, strengthen me. I pray thee only this once."
When we get desperate enough to trust God, hey, look, that's when God's going to do it. When we get down to the point where we see that we are blind, we're weak, we're unable. He walked into that stadium that day where those Philistines were getting ready to celebrate the capture of Samson, and he told me, he said, "Put me up here where I could feel the beam." His faith. He still believed God for what he told him, that he was going to begin to deliver his people from the Philistines. And he knew that his strength was the thing that God had given him, not that he had gotten himself, and not that he was able to keep himself. Let's keep on reading. It says, "And I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may at once avenge the Philistines for mine two eyes." And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, on which it was borne up, of one on his right hand and of the other with his left. And Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." One of the other weaknesses that I didn't mention, and this is important, he never denied himself. But here he decides he's ready to die cause of God. I'm going to guess if we could get Samson to write us a paragraph or a page on his life, the first four or five paragraphs would be, "You know what? I have a lot of regret in my life. God gave me this great power, and what did I do with it? God spoke to me time and time again in my mind and my heart, and I kept wanting what I wanted. I never would turn my life over to him." But when God put my eyes out, see, remember, look up here, man, this is important, this is good. God's still working his sovereign will out in Samson's life. See, God still had that purpose. And until Samson repented and turned back to God and sought God for the strength and for God to fulfill his purpose, he would have never gotten it. You say, "Yeah, but Ricky'd already promised." Still wouldn't have happened if Samson hadn't repented. Still wouldn't have happened if Samson hadn't called upon God. It says there in verse 30, "And Samson said, 'Let me die with the Philistines.' And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon the people that were therein, so the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." And it says here, this is a tribute to him. "Then his brethren and all the house of their his father came down, took him, and brought him up and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaloth
in the burying place of Manoah, his father, and he judged Israel 20 years.
Here's the thing. Samson waited till the end. God's brought me here to remind you and myself not to wait till the end. Don't wait till the end. Don't wait till you're 50 years old. Don't wait till you're 40 years old. Don't wait till you're 25 years old or 20 years old. Surrender to God. Say, God, I want to do it your way. God has a sovereign plan and will for all of us. But it won't happen unless we agree with what God's already agreed with. He already has a plan for us. You can sit in the pew and read your Bible until you're blue in your face. That's not going to get the job done. You got to make a decision. Samson finally made the decision to deny himself and give his life for the cause of Christ. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Lord, God, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. Lord, this message is for me and it's for everyone here and everyone will listen. If we're going to do anything for God, Jesus said that we must deny ourselves. If we don't deny ourselves, he would deny us before his heavenly Father. The Bible says that we are to seek the will of God because we are the servants of God. He also tells us that he'll bless us and give us the spiritual blessings that we would love to see in our life, but we must be obedient and submissive to his will. Lord, there may be one or two people here tonight that you're speaking to. You may not be able to tell it from the outside, but you're speaking to them. They may not have to verbally, out loud, say it tonight, but they may need to say a prayer in their heart of hearts and say, yeah, God, I need to do that. I need to repent. I need to give my life to you. Maybe for salvation, maybe for service. I don't know the answer. But I know this, that God, you have a purpose for every person on this planet to be saved. And you also have a purpose for every saved person to serve Jesus Christ, your Son, while we live here on this earth. So I pray that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray.